Warning, the following podcast will contain subject matter that on the surface may appear tame and for everyone. We here at Orsini's Uncensored Mind can assure you that it will not be. You will hear adult language. We will have a complete disregard for your feelings and emotions, and we will have zero restraint on the opinions shared on this show. There will be no safe spaces available for anyone listening. So, if you're one of those individuals offended by literally everything, this is not the fucking show for you.
Yes, indeed, Seth. You are the brand new Universal Champion.
Becky Lynch!
You little Swiss fucking pussy.
I'm not gonna cry.
You're crying now.
I'm not. It's so fucking hot.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy. This is the main man, your Jasso brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is AJ Orsini. And how the hell literally is everybody out there? Turn it down, baby. Turn it down. Turn it down. I want to holler at my people real quick. I bequeath on the wall of you episode 85. Now, 85 was a big number for me. Why is that? 85 was the year the Earth gave me my soon-to-be wife. This is her birth year, 85. WrestleMania Roundtable was my birth year, 83, baby. So I'm going to try to make this as equal an episode as the 83 ones. And I have something very special for you guys for this episode because, to be honest with you, I don't know what to discuss. Not because there's a lack of material, but to be honest with you, there's a surplus. There's too much material to go over. I really thought after the episode that I did last week with Mrs. O that we would be out of the WrestleMania realm. There's so much other things to talk about, but I'm not going back to the WrestleMania stuff. But there is a few topics, just a little bit that kind of started at WrestleMania and it's bleeding over into all this other crap. So much to discuss, so much to get into. So I decided it would be a good idea to bring back something that I did not too long ago that I was very interested. I said, no, I really want to bring this back at some point. I want to see if I could do this again. So we're going to do it here. I'm going to try it again because there's so much to discuss and I don't want to go on a rant because if I go on a rant, I won't have time for everything. So the only thing I can do is to put myself in a position to have the time to do it. That's right, folks. You guys already know what's about to go down. It's about to happen. It is time, once again, for the lightning. That's right. I was queued up perfectly. Do it again. Do it again. It's time for the lightning round. Now, you may have, if you haven't been listening to the show, okay, first of all, welcome. Secondly, if you know people who haven't been listening to the show, tag them up and let them know. This is the second lightning round. I did a lightning round a few weeks ago. I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved the concept, the idea of it, all of it. All of it. I was a big fan of literally all of it. So I'm going to do it again here. But before I do, before we get into that, I'm going to explain how that works again. Because again, it's going to be new to some people. I'm extremely excited to basically tell people here that I've got a lot of new listeners listening to the show now. Thanks to the WrestleMania Roundtable. That got a lot of new people listening to the show. So I have a lot to explain when it comes to this, and I will. But I got a lot of other stuff real quick that I need to get to before we start getting into the lightning round stuff. I need to, first of all, let everybody know a big thank you for I have more countries listening to the show. Some more downloads that came from Morocco and Lebanon. And some of the countries that I haven't had download me in a while, they're back on. So for my folks over in the UK, welcome back to the show. I'm pleased to hear that you guys are listening again, and I gotta say, welcome back. You know, it's not enough to get the listeners. It's even harder to get them back when you lose them. I had a slow period a while back, and I'm just glad that I'm able to. I was able to bring some new listeners and bring back some old ones. So. Orsini's Uncensored Mind right now is riding a little high, and I gotta say, I'm pretty excited about the stuff that we got going on here. Special shout out to the WrestleMania Roundtable sponsor that we had, 2bscene.com. I actually have a commercial that will air a little later in this episode. Actually, I probably should do it before I get to the lightning round, because I don't know if I'm gonna have time to do it. During the lightning round. That would just ruin momentum, I think. So we'll probably get to that actually pretty soon. I'm going to play that out there for you guys to get some information on our sponsor. You can get a chance to check out some of the products they have, some of the things they got going on. That would be super duper nice. I got hit up a few times for the t-shirts that I have, different colors. They're all set up on the Orsini's Uncensored Mind Facebook page. There were a lot of people who were hitting me up for that, so thank you for the support for the show on that end. I still have them, obviously, for sale. The sale itself is over, but the shipping and handling stuff that I was doing before, because apparently with Pro Wrestling Tees, it gets really confusing. I'm actually, like, right at this point now where I'm pretty much done with the Pro Wrestling Tees thing. If you're making a lot, you know, if you're making like a lot of sales on that, I can see the pros and cons of it, but I go up and down. I sell some shirts, and then I don't sell any shirts. I sell some shirts, and then I don't sell any shirts. So with Pro Wrestling Tees, it gets annoying, because what happens is during those down periods when you don't really sell a whole lot of shit, you start getting fucking essentially spammed. And I don't want to piss anybody off over a Pro Wrestling Tees, but that's what the fuck it is. Essentially, you just start getting spammed, all this different shit sent to your fucking email that you have to sift through. Some of it good, some of it positive. You know, you're trying to get their sales. They offer sales for people to get some discounts on the merchandise. And that's good, that's cool, but other than that, like, the other stuff is just kind of weird. So I'm actually kind of at a point now where I'd rather just not deal with it. I don't sell nearly enough shirts to really be on there. I thought being on there alone would be enough. It isn't. I'm running into the same problems I did when I sold shirts without it. So if it's not going to be a help, there really doesn't seem to be a need for it. Also, selling the shirts straight out of my DM actually saves you guys money, because what happens is the Pro Wrestling Tees charges for the shirt and then charges for the shipping and handling, and I don't really want to do that. I think $20 flat is a lot better than the extra shit, because it varies, you know, and I don't want people to have question marks. They want to buy an Orsini shirt. $20 flat seems to be a good deal for me, so it should be a good deal for you. So those shirts are still available. Again, all you have to do is message me. I have pictures of the shirts on the official Orsini's Uncensored My page. I also have a group page, so I've been getting a lot of hit-ups on that, because I share a lot of shit from there and do polls and try to get general fan interaction on that, so people have been checking that out recently. So everything right now seems to be on the up and up. But I could be doing better, and I think that's where I'm at right now. Also, I put out a status for questions and comments for the show. I got a few responses. I'm going to get to those tonight. That's actually part of the lightning round stuff that I'm going to do. Some of the questions that I was asked, I actually threw into the lightning round just to kind of get a roundabout feel. Instead of just going from segment to segment, just fucking doing the lightning round and answering as many questions there as I could and fit that in. As far as me, myself, I just want to address myself or address you about myself for just a quick second before we start this. And that is one of the questions I was asked. It's not in the lightning round. I separated it completely from the rest of the stuff because I wanted to address it, and I wanted to apologize, essentially. So what happened was when this – I'm in school, for those of you who aren't following the show. I'm really running myself ragged. I go to college. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I work full-time, and then I do this podcast. So I'm stretched in a lot of fucking directions. I make it work, but I'm going to admit I'm stretched. So what ends up happening is the one thing that I have an abundance of is responsibility. The thing that I have the least of is fucking time. So what ends up happening is one of the questions I was asked was, a fan had wrote in, I really enjoy your interview episodes. You haven't had one in a while. Do you plan on having any interviews coming up in the near future? So let's address that. As a matter of fact, the last episode that I had where I did an interview, I did it with a good friend of mine, Montekia, the House of Glory Crown Jewel champion. He's actually still the champion, if I remember correctly. He was that was episode 72, and this is episode 85. So it's been a while, and I get it. I've managed to have guests on. I've done, since the Montekia interview, I've done the Royal Rumble Roundtable. I've done the In Your House with a guest. I've done, obviously, the WrestleMania Roundtable. So I've had guests, but I really haven't done the interview. I think people really like listening to the interviews and listening to the stories and all that stuff, and I have not done that. And the biggest reason why, like I just explained, time. I just don't have the time. I've tried setting a few up, and either I've had to cancel or they've canceled, and not canceled because of any malice or anything, but I literally had one guest get sick, like in the hospital sick. I've had a guest break his leg, essentially, in the fucking ring. I've had to cancel because I was sick, or my wife was sick, or my son was sick, so I had to take care of them instead. So it's just been a really tough road as far as the interviews go. I've tried to make up for it with the roundtables, but the roundtables are more discussion and not really interviews. I get it, and I did want to do that with this show. I do want to do interviews. That's one of my favorite things to do. I love asking the questions and getting in-depth with people and really getting them to open up. That's something that I love doing. So I wanted to apologize for not doing it recently. We are in April, so I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to have to bear with me on the interviews just a little bit. I have spoken to some really cool fucking guests that I want to have on this show. And coming up, I think I have like one full month here. We're in the middle of April, so I have like one more full month of school. And then I'm free as a fucking bird for several weeks. I'm going to be taking a summer class, but they only allow a certain amount of summer classes. So I won't be, like, fucking as stretched out. So this is going to be the summer of fucking Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I'm planning on really going hard on marketing this show and really doing something different with it. So bear with me for just a few more weeks. I'm going to try to make these next few episodes as interesting as possible. Let's not forget also with episode 85, we're 15 episodes away from my 100th episode. I plan on doing something really cool with that. And as I get closer to it, you'll find out more because I want to make sure things are good to go. But I've pulled some surprises in the past, and you guys have really responded positively to that. So I'm telling you again, episode 100 is going to be something really fucking special. I've also thought about, and I've been tempting with the idea of doing a more video presence to the audio. Obviously, I have a good time going live, but I've been going live from a studio that's in New Jersey. And to be honest with you, as great as the studio is and as great as Stephen James has been for me, it's a little deep, and I'm trying to figure out a way or a method to be a little bit more live. It doesn't necessarily have to be on Facebook Live, but just different methods. I'm trying different things. I'm trying to find something that consistently works because I don't want to do anything that I can't commit to. I'm already doing one show a week, Wednesday at 9 p.m. I'm thinking of adding a live one if only for temporary reasons, just to see how it would go, kind of make a run at it and just see what happens. Live's hard because to do it live, you want to fixate yourself to a time and slot, and I'm not married to that idea just yet. So those are all the things that I'm playing with. Just wanted to give you guys an update on that stuff as far as the show goes. Please buy the shirt, support the show, and I'm going to, as a matter of fact, let's get that out the way now because I don't want to cut it off later, so let's get into the To Be Seen commercial now. Once again, thank them as for sponsoring not only the wrestling WrestleMania Roundtable, but the next few episodes, as a matter of fact, they're going to be sponsors of the show. So thank them for contributing to the show. And here's a little information on To Be Seen, the commercial. Hey guys, Orsini here, and I just want to take the time to thank our sponsor for the live WrestleMania Roundtable, tobeseen.com. That is the number 2, BESCENE.com. They are an entertainment and videography company, and I have given them big 2 thumbs up. I have used them in the past for my own pro wrestling company, and I'm glad to be working with them yet again with the podcast. Now, again, they're an entertainment and videography company. They do it all, baby. They storyboard, they film you, they edit, they publish all in one place. It's easy come, easy go. They even have the ability to shoot the baby in 4K. If you're a YouTuber or an internet sensation coming up, these are the people that you want to contact and work with. What's that? You're not a YouTuber? You're not trying to be all over the place? That's fine. You can still go to their website for entertainment purposes. They hold live trailer chats. They discuss movies and anything entertainment. Check it out again. The number 2, BESCENE.com. Yeah, it's a really cool place. The guy who runs the place, Founder Voice, he's been a friend of mine for a long time. I've used him, like I said in the commercial, I've used him for my 2KW Pro shows. They can do it all over there. So check them out. And once again, thank them for sponsoring the show. But now it is time for the lightning round. Here's the deal. For those of you who did not get a chance to listen to the first one, first of all, you should, when you get a chance, you should really head back and do that. It was a really good episode. As a matter of fact, that was episode 79, not too long ago. But tonight, we're going to do pretty much the same thing, except with a little twist. I've decided to challenge myself here. So what happens is I take 15 topics that I want to discuss, and I give myself 3 minutes to discuss them. I take each topic, and I have a timer, just so everyone is aware that I'm actually doing this for 3 minutes. Let me see if I can start it off here. You'll hear a countdown just like that, and bing, and that'll be the start of my 3 minutes. When it gets to the end, nope. Got here. Oh, that's over time. There you go. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. You'll hear. There you go. You'll hear a buzzer. And it gives me an overtime just so, you know, it's a really good annoying. But I did really good last time as far as overtime. I didn't really use any of the overtime. So that's the plan here tonight. So once again, it is 15 topics, 3 minutes each. The twist is last time, and I had a list in front of me, I kind of went in an order that I felt comfortable with. I didn't go 1 through 15. I randomized, but I went based kind of on how the episode felt. And I was just going back and forth. This time around, I will not be going in an order of my choice. Right in front of me, I don't know if you can hear it, because it's, I don't know if you can hear that, paper and plastic cup. I took 15 pieces of paper. I numbered them. They're in my cup here. So I do not know which topic I will be able or I will be going to next. The cup will decide. The cuppeth knows the answer, and I will be picking randomly. So I will give you, you will now know that I am not picking these topics for preparation. It will be completely fucking random. So here we go. We're going to start this thing off here with the lightning round. Yes, the lightning round. So I'm trying to decide, should I pick the number now, or should I, because I think picking it after will cut into my time here. So, okay, all right, you know what, we'll pick it first. We'll pick the first number here. I'll put this down. I don't want to knock this shit over, because there's a bunch of little pieces in here, and I will be effed in the A if I do that. Okay, so the first number I have drawn is number 2. All right, number 2. I will say the title of each when the buzzer goes off here. Here we go, starting 4, 3. I don't have a beverage this time. Dry mouth in it. All right, topic number 2. Dean Ambrose will return this Sunday for the Shield's final round Essentially, what's happening is they're going to have a house show, and for whatever fucking reason, Dean Ambrose is going to be on it. I don't know why he's back on it, but he is, and they're going to do the Shield's final match together against who gives a shit. It doesn't really matter. They're going over, obviously. Dean is probably going to be the one to score the pinfall because they don't want him to go out on his back in this particular situation, I guess. But the topic is up because people are using this as a reason to back up their claims that this is a work, that he is not leaving, that they're just dragging this shit out to give you the big reveal. No one who keeps telling me this will tell me what the big reveal is. Because I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this entire theory. What is the fucking end game here? Because they've been beating him like a drum. He wasn't on the WrestleMania card. As a matter of fact, Dean Ambrose has spent a lot. He spent more time at the indie shows that weekend than at fucking Mania. So I'm trying to figure out exactly if this is a work, what the end goal here is. We see how the shakeup shook up, so to speak, the other members of the Shield. So where does that place him? We just had a shakeup. Does he stay on Raw? Does he go on SmackDown? What would be the fucking endgame to all this if he stayed? Everything that has been going on leads to the example, not that it is a work. To me, it's all evidence that it is with 100% factual, that he is fucking gone. And I spoke about this on social media a little bit. I put it out there. Whenever a pro wrestler leaves the major company, the WWE, the chatter starts. He's going to AEW. He's going to New Japan. He's doing this. He's doing that. Folks, let me be the one to break the news to you here. Breaking news here on Orsini's Uncensored Mind. Dean Ambrose is going fucking home. That's where he's headed. He's headed to his fucking house, you know. If you look at the WWE Chronicle episode of him, I mean, the guy has a million and one hobbies, and he doesn't do fucking literally any of them. He will not miss the limelight at all. This guy is very down to earth. He's a part of the earth, all right? He's very earthly, like Daniel Bryan. He doesn't need any of this shit, and I think he's going home. So I don't know if this was a contractual thing or we'll give you a couple extra thousand type of thing, but this Sunday, live on the WWE Network, Dean Ambrose returns one more time for the final Shield match. And once that shit is over, I highly anticipate the next time you will see Dean Ambrose will be peeping through his living room window, watching him on the couch, probably passed out in a drunken stupor. And that is the first topic there. All right, the overtime, dude, I get it. So let's go ahead and pick another number here. We're going to pick another number. Pick another number. Number 15. Wow. The final number. All right. Here we go. Oh, this is difficult. Okay. This is going to be a little difficult. See, this is why I'm glad it was random, because it's going to test my mettle here. All right. So let's play this. Here we go. Set off the clock here. And here we go. Topic number 15. Topic 15 is the botched shakeup opportunity. Now, two of the other topics we'll be discussing. One was designated just for the Raw side, the other for the SmackDown side, and I left one open for any of the mistakes that I think took place, and I really only think one took place, and I think the mistake is when this whole shakeup was originally promoted and originally discussed. It was not called the main roster shakeup. It was not called the Raw SmackDown shakeup. It was called the international shakeup here. And I think the WWE has blown a huge opportunity here. And the opportunity is the argument that everyone besides me makes. They wouldn't have been solving or proving my theory, they would have been proving your theory. And one of the biggest conversations that I have on a daily fucking basis is NXT and NXT UK. Now, mostly NXT. NXT UK is still new. It's still in its infant stage. So let's leave that out just for right now for the sake of argument and just talk about NXT, because I hear it all the fucking time. Is NXT a fucking brand? And I say it all the time. No, it isn't. Developmental. Now, here's why I think this is a botched situation, but I think they have a chance. I'm recording this Tuesday night. NXT happens on Wednesdays. They may do something on NXT that I don't know about now. They may change this entire conversation. But all I keep seeing is everyone coming up. I don't see anyone fucking going down. I don't see anyone going from the main roster to the UK roster. I don't see UK coming to SmackDown. Nothing. I thought for sure this was a great opportunity to get Pete Dunne off of NXT UK and onto the major brands, either Raw or SmackDown. I thought this was a great opportunity for that. They did not take that. Now, from what I understand, from what I have been reading online, and I was trying to research this all day, apparently the Raw and SmackDown is not where the shakeup ends. There might be some more announcements made throughout the week. There could be some NXT changes. There very well could be some NXT UK changes. But I brought this topic up because we didn't get a chance to see any of this on Raw or SmackDown. And I think that's where the botch really is, because you could have used that boost. People were paying attention to the shakeup. This was the week that should have happened last week. The Raw and SmackDown post-WrestleMania is usually the best Raw and SmackDowns of the year, and they were not, because we knew the shakeup was this week. And then we get the shakeup episodes, and to be honest with you, Raw got shaken up, and then that's about it. So I really think they dropped the ball here. I think there was a great opportunity to really move some things around, generate some real interest, and really give NXT and NXT UK a chance to really prove that it is a brand. Okay, let's pull this out here. I got more on that when I get to those other ones, because Jesus Christ. Topic number 8. Okay, let's go ahead and hit this button here, ladies and gentlemen. We're cruising. We're really going now. Okay, unfortunately, I didn't want to have to go here, but again, this was one of the questions that I got from a fan. I had posted a status on Facebook the other day, because I was reading a lot of stuff on my timeline and just on Twitter, and I spend a lot of time online, I really do, and I try to get a good idea of the pulse and how people are feeling. And we had the discussion last week when I was on here with Mrs. O about transportation from MetLife into the city or into other avenues of Jersey, and how difficult it was to travel on that day. And that's where it kind of ended the conversation, because that's really all I had heard. A week later, here we stand. Everyone's home. It's all over. And the New York City test is a gigantic failure. This topic is called NYC Fails the Fan Test. Every year, WrestleMania is a traveling city. You get a chance to see wonderful cities around the country. New Orleans was last year. Orlando before that. They were in Dallas before that, the Bay Area before that. There were New Orleans again before that. And then it was New York in 29. And I remember being there for 29. And I don't remember hearing a whole lot of what I heard this time around. But there were people just fucking trashing our city. Just one of the worst WrestleMania cities they've ever been to. It's so difficult to get around. It fucking stinks everywhere. There's garbage everywhere. Manhattan is just covered in shit, essentially, is what people were saying online. And I got to tell you guys, and I want to be the first to sit here and let you know that as a person who's lived here almost his whole life, I agree. This place is a fucking dump. It is. It really is the fucking shit. This place is fucking disgusting. If you've never been here before, if you don't live in New York and you just all of a sudden got thrust into Port Authority or into JFK or LaGuardia, dude, It's a fucking cesspool. This fucking place is disgusting. I never really learned how disgusting this city is until I go somewhere else. Last year, we went on vacation to Orlando, Florida. That place is fucking beautiful. Fucking beautiful. Lack of luxury, man. Lack of luxury. I come back to the fucking city. That's the most depressing flight ever, is coming back to fucking New York every single time I come back from another fucking city. Cozumel was Mexico. Had a better fucking feel to it than this fucking city has. I love New York. It's my home. I can never really see myself ever really fucking legitimately leaving it. But I've had the conversations in my head. I really have. And for the people who keep telling me, hey, man, should NYC really be responsible for a show that took place in New Jersey? Well, considering Mania was the only show in Jersey and a few indies and everything else literally was in New York, short answer is yes, they should have been, but they weren't. They weren't accommodating in any way. They said the people sucked. It was just an overall blah. It's just an overall blah, man. Overall blah. I got no excuses for New York. I'm sorry. I got no excuses. Oh, the fan question, by the way, for that was, what did you mean by NYC failing the test? I just explained it, though. So here we go, number 9, right after it. Look at that, the number right after it. Kick me off, big man, or big lady, I don't know, whichever you want to be, however you identify. Here we go, 3 minutes on the clock here, topic number 9. Oh, my God, this one hurts me to the fucking core. I actually kind of don't want to talk about this. I put it on here because I was very interested in discussing it, but I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of torn. Listen, we saw some old friends debut in a place where I'm telling you, I don't really think they should have fucking debuted. Oh. Oh. That's right. They did it to us, folks. Topic number 9. Oh, cut that shit off. Cut that shit off because they pissed me off. And I'm not the only ones. Listen, folks. I need to explain this to you. And I just killed a bunch of time playing that song, but I don't care. Okay? I'm going to make this short and fucking sweet. Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor. What the fuck have you become? What have you become, Ring of Honor? Look at yourself in the fucking mirror. I got a quote for you. This is my quote for you, okay? This is how I felt watching this shit.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Oh my God. It was the first thing that came to mind. I'm watching this fucking G1 show, dude. The beautiful people, some fucking rapper in the middle of the ring, a WWE street fight. The New Japan portion of this show, dude, felt fucking legit, bro. You watch the fucking Madison Square Garden show, you see New Japan, they fucking brought it. They made this shit look so fucking good. The New Japan portion of that show looked like a fucking threat, man. The Ring of Honor side was utter garbage, and that hurts me to say inside. It really does, because I've been a fan of Ring of Honor for a long time. Okay, but I saw the writing on the fucking wall, bro. I did. I stopped watching full time, like every fucking show and every fucking match. I have to say, 2012, 2013, something like that, where I just fell right the fuck off. I really did, because I just saw the writing on the wall. They're no longer DVD distribution, wrestling in the closet type of indie company. They're on TV. They're a major budget. They're a big-time company. And big-time companies eventually all become WWE light. I never thought I'd see the day where Ring of Honor would do it. I thought maybe this would be the one company. But nope. Nope. They are becoming that of which they hate. They are becoming the enemy. And Enzo and Cass, that was it. That sealed the fucking deal for me. I don't even know if they're signed officially, but fuck them. I don't even care. I'm just looking at that. I don't even want to do. The overtimes get me fucked up over here. I got more. I want to trash that some more, but I know that I can't. I'm going to be responsible. Topic number 1. We're back at the top. Topic number 1 deals with the Raw portion of the shakeup. That's happened this past Monday on Monday Night Raw. And let me tell you something. Raw made out like gangbusters, bro. Gangbusters. Raw made out great on this fucking shakeup here. I got the list right in front of me. Let's go down the list here. The Miz, which might go underappreciated when you hear the rest of this list, but Miz being back on Raw, pretty big move, pretty ballsy move, and I think it's the right one. The Cedric Alexander coming to Raw from 205 Live, Andrade with Zelina, which is important. Rey Mysterio, Eric Young got a graphic. He wasn't even on the fucking show. The Usos, who also got a graphic for someone else. Gable and Rude got the Uso graphic. I have Sami Zayn listed here because he also showed up on SmackDown, but not today, like SmackDown. He showed up like last week. But now due to the shakeup, I got the feeling he's going to be a Raw guy there. Naomi, the Glow, moves over to Raw. Lacey Evans officially on Raw as opposed to traveling back and forth. I believe I had Ricochet and Aleister Black, who are officially on Raw as opposed to both brands. They're going to be on the Raw brand. And, of course, AJ Styles, the obvious pick moving over to Raw. Just to break down some of this, because there's one thing that I'm leaving out, and I'm leaving it out for a particular reason. Miz, great move for The Miz, finally. I didn't really like him going to SmackDown in the first place, but I understood it. Andrade moving, getting away from Rey. I thought for a second getting away from Rey Mysterio until Rey Mysterio moved to Raw. The Usos and the graphic thing, it's whatever. Usos needed to get the fuck off SmackDown, so thank God for that. Sammy on Raw, I don't know. I'm not big on that, but at the same time, he's away from Kevin Owens, so I'm good. Naomi, whatever. Lacey Evans, whatever. AJ Styles, like I said, big time move. Of course, I've left out the Viking Experience, my friend. A lot of people shitting chickens on the internet over this crap. Not just the name of the team, but what is it? Ivar and Eric. They've changed Roe and Hansen's name to something else as well. Very Viking-y, I guess. Listen, I'm one of these people. I've said it before. I don't give a fuck about the name. I really don't. I give a fuck about the talent, and they're super fucking talented guys, and I hope they're given the chance to shine. Am I a big fan of the name? No, the name is garbage. As a matter of fact, I heard a couple people pitch names online that were even better. My Valhalla Awaits and Ragnarok were my two favorite ones. I would have appreciated either of those. Experience is what fucks people's head up. Experience. All right, I get you. Yeah, that's the part that fucks everybody's heads up, experience. I'm pulling from the cup. Here we go. Sound like Velveteen Dream Experience. Ooh, number 11. There we go. Let's kick this shit into high gear here. Give me that thing. One of the shake parts about the shakeup that actually fucked with me and actually destroyed me, because I actually got physically upset by this, and I don't know why. And I got into it with my wife about this because she thought it was cool, but I fucking disliked it very heavily. A lot of marriages were saved during this shakeup. There's a lot of movement. Aleister Black going to Raw, and then, officially, because he was doing both, but Zelina Vega being moved to Raw. Of course, when Naomi, because Naomi got picked earlier in the show to be on Raw, and I thought to myself, what a good move, because that gets her away from the fucking Usos, finally, right? Only to see the fucking Usos also move to Raw. I get it. It's a morale thing. But what pisses me off about it is that I'm not a big believer that people who are married or engaged or even together in a relationship need to be attached to the hip at the workplace. That shit pisses me off. My wife and I work. Our 9-to-5s are in the same company. We just don't work in the same building. But originally, when I first started working there, we did work in the same building. But we didn't work together. And the reason for that is because we're at work. When I'm at work, that's not my wife. When she's at work, I'm not her husband. We're just two co-workers doing what the fuck we have to do. I never understood the thought process that because I'm married to somebody here, that we need to be joined at the hip. I don't understand that. Especially for the people that we're talking about. All right, Zelina Vega is an extremely talented performer. She doesn't need to be around her husband to be that. I get it. It's a comfort thing. You can travel the road together. It's for morale is what it is. But I don't like the idea of them booking matches or booking rosters or booking talent based on relationships. That shit bothers me. If you need to put Zelina somewhere and she's a better fit to be somewhere else, I would really hope that they would have enough respect for the competitors and for the fans to do the right thing. That they're actually just going to keep people on the same brands specifically because they're married. Because that would be bullshit. I really think Naomi needed to get the fuck away from the Usos. I still believe that now. I think it's a mistake putting them on the same brand again. And I know you're thinking, but AJ, they really don't communicate too much. They don't come out together. They don't wrestle together. Horseshit. Malarkey, my friend. They're constantly in each other's shit. They sell shirts on those little merch commercials together. They do backstage shit together. They do Mixed Max Challenge together. They're always fucking together. And I get it. They're married. But not all the you don't have to be married at work, too. It's just irritating to me. And this is coming from a married man. All right? I'm not saying marriage. Let me pull for this. I'm not saying marriage fucking makes me upset. Just don't beat me over the fucking head with it. We get it. Y'all fucking. Jesus Christ. Here we go. Number 14. Start this bitch up. Number 14. Sasha motherfucking Banks. That's the topic. I wrote that shit out just like that. Topic 14. Sasha motherfucking Banks. Here's the deal. I only get 3 minutes to discuss this because I could do 30 minutes on this. Okay? But I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Okay? If you're the kind of individual who will sit there at his fucking job and eat the shit all day, all day, all day, and then finally a glimmer of hope comes. There's a promotion on the table, and you've been paying your dues. You're there every day. You don't cause any problems. You come to work. You do your best job. You're one of the best employees they have. And they say, you know what? You got a real strong opportunity to get this new promotion, to get this new job. And you get excited, and you come back to work. And now you're putting in 100% because you're trying to keep impressing so you get this position. And then one day they walk over to you and say, hey, man, the position is as good as yours. The position is right there at the cusp. You give us a few more days to work out the paperwork, baby, and that position is yours. And they got you hyped, and they got you worked up, and they got you feeling good, and you're putting in 100% of work, 110%, trying to be a manager, trying to be something for yourself, trying to earn a little bit more money, better quality of life here. And then it's time to pay the piper. It's time to sign the deal. Here we go. We're going to make a decision, folks. We're going to give this promotion to, and it's not you. And it's not you. It's the guy next to you who just got here. A lot of potential. Could be a good employee down the line, but he ain't done shit yet. You done all the shit. That was your position. That was your shot. You've been advocating for this. You've been pushing for this. But they gave it to them. So you're going to be mad at the guy? No, you're not going to be mad at the guy. He doesn't. What's he supposed to say? No? No, he's getting an opportunity. Of course he's going to say yes. You know who you get mad at? You get mad at the fucking company. That's who you get mad at. And if you're listening to the story saying, well, I wouldn't get mad, you're full of shit. People get jerked around at their jobs all the time. And there's two types of people. People who eat the shit and love the taste of it, or people who don't want to get that shit all over them because they got too much pride and respect for themselves. Sasha Banks is doing what every single top superstar in wrestling history has always done, and that's attain a top spot and then do what's necessary to keep said spot. She ain't arguing with wrestlers. She ain't arguing up-and-comers. She's arguing with the fucking boss. She's arguing with the writing staff. She's arguing with the executives. She's not fucking around with the people next to her. Iconics, they're next. All right, they're next. It's whatever. But you going to tell me that I get a chance to build this division, and then before I can blink, before I can move my eyes, I lose the belts? Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed off, too. Fuck that. Fuck that. Fuck that. I got more for that. I'm going to save that bitch up for another day. I got more for that. But I'm going to be good today. I'm trying to do good. Trying to do good here with this lightning round here. Here we go. Number 12. Oh, this one's going to piss y'all off. I got it. Give me the timer, baby. This one's going to piss y'all off. Okay. So, besides from the G1, which pissed me off, and WrestleMania, which was really, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed WrestleMania. You guys heard me do the round table. You guys heard me do the wrap up, the post show with Mrs. O. Did it have some misses or whatever? You know, was it a perfect show? No, it wasn't a perfect show. I just had a good time going to the show, and I thought it was a good show, considering the fact that it was 8 million years long. But before WrestleMania, before G1, there was a takeover show, NXT Takeover Friday night, the Barclays Center. 5 matches on the card. Every single match delivered. If you're a pure wrestling fan, this is the show for you. This is a good show. If you're the kind of fan that digs the in-ring product of pro wrestling, this is the show for you here. But here's the deal. I am not overly infatuated with that style. I'm just not. Okay, I can appreciate it. I respect the athleticism involved. But for the most part, NXT TakeOver is pretty much just a really expensive indie company. They're just letting these indie guys come in here and do all this goofy shit. And I've had this conversation on this show before, by myself and with guests. But I have had a huge fucking problem with the way that Johnny Gargano does her his fucking thing, okay? Now, am I going to sit here and tell you that Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole, 2 out of 3 falls, was a bad match? Hell no. I can't sit here with a straight fucking face and tell you that match was garbage, because it wasn't. It was a damn good match. But here is my problem. It's the only one that I have. And I made this joke online, and it caught a little wildfire, so I'm going with it. All right? He calls himself Johnny Wrestling. The fans call him Johnny Takeover. I call him Johnny Fallsy. That's what I fucking call him. Johnny Fallsy. For those of you who don't know, a Fallsy, essentially, is a spot in the match where you've worked each other over so much, you just feel like at any minute, one of those guys will hit the knockout blow. And once he does, boom, hits him, goes for the pin, 1-2, kick out, and the fucking place blows because there's no fucking way that guy just kicked out of that move. No fucking way. False finish. Fallsy. All right? Now, watch that match back. And a good wrestling match, you can get anywhere from 1-2, maybe, if you're strong enough a performer, you get 3 Fallsies in. This motherfucking match had like 27. I can't deal with this fucking guy and the false finishes. More of this indie garbage shit. Now, indies aren't garbage. I'm not calling them garbage. I'm just saying that there's some things irritating, and that's definitely one of them. Pet peeve, my friend. Pet peeve. My God. Don't match. Let me get into my cup here. Don't match. Don't get me wrong. Dope. But I can't keep... I can't keep doing it. Topic number 6. Ooh, this one should calm the nerve. This is more for me. This is more for me. Okay. So, for 600, I want to say that again. 600, okay, and 85 days. A gentleman. Rose from obscurity, because I had never heard of him before, to be honest with you. I know he was doing some stuff over in London with the whole British Strong Style stuff, and I got a chance to see some things here and there. But this gentleman right here, yes, earned my fucking respect. This motherfucker right here. Let me tell you, I very rarely listen to that. That's hot. I very rarely ever get a chance to say this. I love that fucking song. I love it. I very rarely ever get a chance to use this phrase, but I'm going to use it here because it fits. This motherfucker is nasty. Nasty. Pete Dunne is fucking ridiculous. And any hardcore fan obviously respects him because his work is just it's impeccable shit. But what I love about Pete Dunne is I've shown Pete Dunne to novices, to people who don't watch wrestling, not regularly, not casually, never seen a WrestleMania ever. I've shown Pete Dunne to people who just don't pay attention to the sport or the entertainment, whatever you call it, at all. And I'll put a Pete Dunne match on. And these motherfuckers are glued to the screen. They can't get away. The fingers, the joint manipulation, the selling, the high impact shit. The fact that at his frame, he can fight a little guy. He can fight a big guy. He's just the perfect fucking package. He has gone from a dude who I've seen on the internet a few times that I kind of liked, to like one of my favorites on the fucking planet. And that's one of the biggest reasons I think this shakeup was a botch. You could have got this fucker on another brand. I get it. Him and the UK guys are really close. He has great matches. He did a great job elevating that brand. That brand belongs to Walter now. And Pete Dunne needs to get his ass onto another stage. And I don't even really care which stage it is, man. Just get his ass somewhere. I need to see this dude with a belt in his mouth. All right, 685 days. In 85 days, I got accustomed to seeing it, and now we don't have it anymore. And I wish more people paid more respect to the guy because it's not really being talked about enough. The 685—that's a big fucking number for the modern ages. It really is. All right, let's go ahead and just keep this some bitch rolling here. I'm going to topic number 10. 10. Okay, here we go. Topic number 10. It is release. Ooh, I just put this shit back in the cup. That's not good. It is release-a-mania. This past couple of months here, obviously, we spoke on the podcast before about three releases from before. Ty Dillinger, Hideo Itami, and for some reason I'm drawing a blank on that third guy. But there's been a ton of releases here, and not firings, by the way. We want to clarify things. We've had more releases. Luke Harper has asked for his release from the WWE, and they have granted it. Alexander Wolfe has asked. He was one of the members of Sanity who is now gone. Sanity's pretty much out the door at this point. Eric Young got moved to Raw. Alexander Wolfe asked for his release, and he is officially gone. Killian Dane, which is the other member of the team, I haven't heard officially if he's gone, so I can't say that he is or he hasn't, but he's been sending up these cryptic tweets pretty much all day. He's been thanking Eric Young and Wolf and Nikki, and he's been very gracious to people, and it almost feels like he's also on his way out. Losing Killian, I think, is huge. Of the group, I really think Killian had the most potential to really just break out and do something really cool. He's super athletic. He's a big guy. He can work with just about anybody. Well respected in the locker room, from what I understand. I've worked with a few people who know him pretty good, and he's big on a lot of people's lists as a true professional. So Killian's not officially gone. I don't know for sure how that works, but it's a huge blow. And so what's happening here is that these guys want to leave the company. And I know people are going to point to AEW and New Japan, and they say, "Oh, now with all these new companies coming up, and they have different places to go, it's easier for talent to say no and to go do their own thing." I really don't. I'm not going to lie and say it's not playing a role. You know, I'm sure it plays some sort of a role in the negotiation of these things, but I really do believe these guys are just saying "fuck it." They just don't want to be there anymore. You know, back in the 70s and the 80s, it was easy to bank on these guys to be around. What the fuck else were they going to do? A lot of these guys didn't have high school educations. This is all they did. This is how they earned their living, was wrestling. This is the only way that they were able to do it. So for all these guys, there really was no other option. There's nowhere else to go. Today's athlete does not need to live by that law. They can do whatever they want to make the money. They're not scared to, you know, they traveled the world. They made their money. They're not scared to leave that behind. So I wish all those guys the best, man. I really do. I wish them the best of success. They worked hard. They worked hard. They deserve it, man. Especially Luke Harper, man. What a fucking waste. What a loss. All right, topic 3. Oh, I don't know how this is going to go. But fuck it, let's do it. All Elite Wrestling, baby. We haven't talked too much about that. There hasn't been too much of an update on things. They've made a few match announcements for their Double or Nothing show, but that's the Double or Nothing show. People have been clamoring for other information. There's a bunch of scuttlebutt on the internet about some different topics here. And most importantly, or more most paramount of which, the television deal situation. Okay, so All Elite Wrestling not only is a full-fledged company at this point, offering up exclusive contracts and doing the whole Double or Nothing show. The whole point is that this was going to be a televised professional wrestling promotion. That was the plan, that was the idea, and we haven't really heard much since we knew found out what the idea was. A lot of rumored stations within the AEW fold. I had a brain fart just now. A lot of different options on the table. But the real traction seems to be with Turner Broadcasting Network. If that sounds familiar for those of you fans who aren't really paying attention and following, Turner is essentially it's TNT and TBS. And they have other channels, like every network now has 80 versions of a channel, but that is the television programming networks that had WCW. That was where WCW was. So the Monday Night Wars, that was the WWE and USA, that's WCW on TNT. And that's where the whole thing went down, man. That is scorched earth, if you ask me. And remember, just for a second, how WCW went out of business. WCW did not go out of business because it stopped generating enough money to exist. WCW went out of business because the people that owned it no longer wanted to subsidize it. They didn't want to keep it going. They intended to sell the company, which they almost did, until they lost television. They weren't on TNT anymore, and without television, they just didn't see the need to invest that much money in it, and it died. So that basically was the death of WCW when Turner Broadcasting no longer broadcasted WCW. So here we are all these years later. That whole thing went down about 2001. Here we are in 2019, 18 years since those days. And we are once again on the precipice of doing something very, very similar, AEW getting on Turner Broadcasting. I, for one, hope that it happens. I want to see this company succeed. I want to see them try at least to be different. I don't see it happening anytime soon. I know May is for the event for Double or Nothing, so we still have some time. We may be doing something over the summer with this. I'm not part of AEW, but you get what I'm saying. I wish them the best. I do wish them the best. Let's pull. Okay. All right. Let's process this. Stop the buzzer. Then dig into the cup. Here we go. What is this? Number 5. Oh, you motherfuckers. Number 5. Turn that motherfucker on. Okay. This one goes out to the fans. You ready? Hall of Fame. You're all banned. That's it. You're all banned. I can't keep doing this. I can't keep feeling like this. For those of you who follow me on social media, you know that Saturday was a very emotional time for me, okay? The G1 show was pissing me off. We got street fights. I ran it all down already. Bad rappers. The beautiful people are on the card. There's just a lot of shit going on at G1. And meanwhile, down at the Barclays Center, okay, Hall of Fame, we got Bret the Hitman Hart up here. Okay, Bret the Hitman Hart. He's up here doing an introduction, right? With the Hart Foundation tag team. And all of a sudden, some dude in a Rastafarian fucking hat comes out and fucking tackles the guy. He fucking tackles Bret the Hitman Hart. I mean, you want to talk about having a fucking death wish? And a death wish is what he must have had, because let me tell you something. I've never seen a man get his ass whipped as fast as this fucking guy did. Now, we're learning more about him as time goes on. I'm not going to say his fucking name. I'm not going to put the kid over. But there's talk of mental illness. There's a lot of things wrong with this fucking guy. They were asked why he decided to do this. He just said it was the right time. None of that shit makes any fucking sense. So Brett's on the podium. He's doing his whole deal. And this guy comes and tackles him, and he gets his ass handed to him. They pick him up outside, and they start dragging him somewhere. And as they're dragging him, okay, this is the best part of the whole deal, all right?
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
That's right. Meanwhile, as they're dragging him, okay, around the group comes a very lead-fisted Dash Wilder with the big Haryuken right to the fucking face. He just dragon punched this dude with a serious down strong punch uppercut to the fucking chin and bust this dude right in the fucking mouth. Crazy, 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 crazy. But I've been saying this for a long time, folks, and I'm going to say it again. We don't need the fans at the Hall of Fame. A select group, I mean, you could do pricing things, you can do contests, whatever the fuck. We just can't leave this shit open to the general public. And it's not that I don't like the fans. You guys know that I love you guys. But some people cannot be trusted. And it's unfair that some people are going to ruin it for the good. It's probably a lot more good than bad. But this can't be allowed to fucking happen. And if you're a real fucking fan, you will understand. At least I hope you would understand that this shit can't happen. And these legends need to be fucking protected. Fans are gone. Got to ban the fans. Ban the fans. There we go. All right. We have picked up topic number 4. Number 4. Start that off for me, baby. Topic number 4 goes to the shakeup of SmackDown Live. Now, thus far, if you really want to be fair about this, Raw looked really good for the shakeup. SmackDown fucking sucked for the shakeup. And I understand why. Because for a while now, SmackDown has been the far superior brand. Once again, during a brand split, we have come to find out SmackDown Live is the far superior brand. So, like most situations, it got gutted in a big fucking way. And they sent some stuff over to SmackDown. Now, let's break down the SmackDown shakeup real quick. First of all, the first shakeup left me utterly and, I mean, beyond utter, actually. I was fucking stunned and confused for a long while because the first person out was Finn Balor, who was the Intercontinental Champion. And that shit stunned me because I don't remember Samoa Joe leaving to Raw. So that means that would put both champions on the same brand. So I said that out loud. I said, I don't understand. I'm confused because Joe didn't move to Raw. So how is Finn on SmackDown? And my wife said, oh, I read something online yesterday or the day before or whatever that Joe had the flu or some shit and he couldn't make it on the show. So, of course, I put it to the social media. All my investigators do their research. And sure enough, this guy had the fucking flu. He was sick. He couldn't get on Raw. Okay, fair enough. But can you fucking announce that he is on Raw? Because I had to figure that shit out for my fucking self. If it wasn't for friends and the power of Google, I wouldn't know these things. Okay, I wouldn't know that Samoa Joe was there. You gave me a graphic for Eric Young. You can't give me a graphic for your U.S. champion? I have to Google why Samoa Joe is no longer on SmackDown? Because according to WWE.com, while SmackDown was on the air, Joe was still a SmackDown guy. So I don't know if it's part of the story, what they're going to do on Raw. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I was confused. What left me even more confused was this was the first shakeup. We didn't get another one for a full hour. Okay? About 9 o'clock hour, we finally get another shakeup, and it's three chicks all at once. Ember Moon, Bayley, Kairi Sane. A few minutes later, we got Lars. A backstage interview with Buddy Murphy. We get Elias over from Raw, and of course, the big dog coming over to SmackDown, which to me is a red flag, and it's a red flag for Roman Reigns, which is a good flag for us, which means the whole big dog deal, the whole I'm the man deal, that went away. That went away. For a while, Reigns was the untouchable. He was the John Cena of Monday Night Raw. Them moving him to SmackDown and leaving Rollins on Raw is a big deal, and that means Rollins is in the place he's always wanted to be. Rollins is number one. Rollins is the fucking man now. He just is. He just is. So if that's the case, then I'm glad they moved Roman to SmackDown. It'll freshen him up and give him something completely different to do over there, and I'm just super excited right now to see what's going to happen next. Super excited. Let's move out of this right here. Let's pick another number from the cup. How many do I have? I only have two left. Not bad. Not bad. All right. Number 13. Number 13. ROH covering up blood. That is what that one was called. We're going to start the clock here. ROH covering up blood. Okay. So, I already mentioned a little bit earlier when I was discussing the G1 and all the different things that Ring of Honor has been doing. You'll die a hero, live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And this is another example. So, in case you guys haven't heard, there was a big brouhaha about a gentleman who got color in a match. I believe it was Silas Young. I'm not entirely sure. I looked it up this morning, but I honestly, right now, I'm so exhausted, I can't remember. But the point is that someone got color and they blurred it. I don't know if that was a Ring of Honor deal or a Sinclair deal, but here's the problem. It doesn't matter whose decision it was the decision to make, because when you're on television, this is the stuff you have to worry about. This is why WWE doesn't want to do blood anymore. They have to stay away from that stuff. This is why wrestling is the way that it is, folks. I keep telling you people, this is why I brought this up. It's not really for the blood, but I bring it up because of the change. And I keep telling people all the time, when you're an indie company, when you're not mainstream, when you're not when you're not underground anymore, and you have to be entertainment for the masses, and you have to generate entertainment that everyone can possibly get into. Shit like that has to go away because children won't watch the show, and you'll lose sponsors when you lose your kids. When you lose demographics, you lose sponsors to that demographic, essentially. So you got to clean up your act. And this is why I tell you, mom and pops who become franchises, this is what happened. That's why people who sell me all the time, oh, NXT should be on TV. They should put Raw and SmackDown on the network. You know what would happen? You'd have the same fucking problem. All of a sudden, Raw and SmackDown would start getting good because it's on the network. It's at Full Sail. No one's giving a shit. But NXT would be on the USA Network or would be on Sci-Fi or whatever the fuck. And it would be generating the same criticisms because it's not the brand that sucks. It's the writing that sucks. And the writing sucks because the writing has to appease too many fucking masters. There's sponsors, there's board of directors, there's fan bases that have children that want to go to the fucking show. It's just a fucking mess. That's why you have to have indie companies for those rabid, hardcore, straight-up wrestling fans just to satiate them, just to satisfy them. Because if you leave it up to the WWE, they're going to play. They're not playing to the wrestling audience anymore. They're playing to the casual. They're playing for the non-everyday. It's like the NFL philosophy that I've been sharing on my show for years. Okay? I've been sharing this philosophy because it's the perfect idea. NFL said this one time. I forgot which marketing guy said this. The NFL does not cater to NFL fans. The NFL company does not cater to football fans. They cater to the casual. And the reason for that is because the NFL already has the football fans' money. They need new money. And that's where major TV comes in, and that's where Ring of Honor is trying to get. That's it. And I got one more here. One last one. Number 7. Oh, my Lord in heaven. Turn that clock on. Turn that clock on. I already started on this. I get a chance to finish. The Viking Experience. Let's talk about this more specifically. Not just the Raw shakeup, but the that's why I said I left it out for last, because I knew I was going to get another chance to talk about this. Let's talk about this for a second. Andrade, Cesaro, Ali. I mean, you just go down the line. Even Sheamus to a degree, right? Sheamus or Shanahan or whatever the hell his name was. The name thing. Everyone drawing conclusions about the name thing. It doesn't mean anything. I know there's a branding issue. I know it's a familiarity issue. You don't want a team changing its name up a bunch of times. You start to lose the fan base. You start to get people confused. They don't know what the fuck to do. I get all that. But we're living in 2019. If you can't follow these fucking guys based on a simple name change, that's not where the real problem lies. There, you've got some issues on your own that you need to fucking work out. But the Viking Experience, I get it. What's fucking people up about this shit is the word experience. That's the part that's fucking with people. Nothing about this team gives you the impression of experience. It doesn't make any sense. No one understands. Who the fuck thought this shit up? All right? I'm not in support of this shit at all. But I will say this. The name itself shouldn't really matter. They're that good. It's the same thing like when the Dudley Boys went to TNA and they became Team 3D. Team 3D is a shitty name. But you know what? The team was good, so you were able to get by it. Okay? When you have genuine talent, the name doesn't mean anything. Yes, as a fan, you're free to freak out because you probably don't like it. You're not a fan of it. Blah, blah, blah. That's fine. You don't have to be a fan of everything that happens. You don't have to. You can vocalize your dislikes and your discomforts, and it's fine. And people did. I'm just trying to be a little voice of reason to the whole deal. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're really good as a tag team. Really good. And to drop the ball with these two would be very costly. Very costly. They're very, very good. Beyond good, to be honest with you. But I'll keep it to just they're very, very good. Okay? So the whole Viking Experience deal, the internet pretty much almost crashed yesterday because of that shit. And I don't know why. But at least they were trending. At least it was something that people were talking about, and it's A-okay. And that's and now the only question I have now is, they are the current NXT Tag Team Champions. So we'll have to figure out tonight, or yeah, I guess it's late. It's that late now, so it is technically tonight. But on what they do with the NXT Tag Team Championship, if they remain and they keep defending them, whatever the case may be, I guess we will find out this Wednesday. You know, maybe we'll get some more moves too. You never know. It's going to be a mystery, NXT and NXT UK. And we'll find out what progresses from here. We will find out. That is the lightning round, baby. I had a lot of fun. Hold on a second. I didn't do that right. And I lost my whole fucking thing over here because of reasons. It's a whole fucking deal. Pissing me off, baby. Pissing me off. But that was the lightning round, and that was a lot of fun. I love doing those. I love keeping I feel like I have more to say on a lot of those fucking things, but what are you going to do, right? You're trying to challenge yourself, and I didn't know which one was coming when. So, oh, yeah, here we go. I found it here. It's the lightning round. There you go. Got my whole shit fucked up over here. Anywho, I'm going to go ahead and bring this bitch on home. And when I have more information for the other things that I was telling you guys about, the live shows, the video streaming, all that cool shit, man, I'm going to be updating you guys along the way. It'll be a lot of fun. All right, just bear with me, baby. The show is only getting better. I'm telling you, the next few weeks are going to be fucking ridiculous and great. Okay, ridiculous and great at the same time. I know it's hard to achieve that level, but I'm telling you, baby, it's going to be that damn good. All right, so thank you for tuning in for the lightning round. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I got more cool shit coming along the way. April 19th, this Friday, begins MCU week in celebration of the Avengers Endgame release the week after, the 26th. Yes, I heard about the footage leak. Yes, I'm in possession of it. Yes, I watched it. If you want to watch it, hit me up. If not, don't worry. I'm not going to share. I'm not going to put it out there. I'm not even going to talk about it, especially not on the round table. I'm just not going to do that to you guys. I'm going to leave you be. Okay? You guys got like one more week before you can see the film. I get it, baby. But yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of shit MCU related starting April 19th. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, baby. I can't wait. I can't wait to take a break from wrestling, too, and just talk about another passion of mine. So, should be dope. So, guys, episode 85. I hope you guys enjoyed this shit, man. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for thank you for sharing. And of course, thank you for enjoying episode 55.
Welcome to our dirty show. This is Ocean Senses Mine. If you listen to my daddy show, he should buy me toys. He's a good daddy.